Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of the unexpected, you take what is old and make it new, and what is dead and bring it to life. You take our false expectations and transform them into your truth. Help us to accept the challenge of your call so that, trusting in your promise, we journey by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
The first reading from the book of Genesis. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Lecture de la deuxième lettre aux Corinthiens. Pourtant, fort de ce même esprit de foi dont il est écrit, j'ai cru, c'est pourquoi j'ai parlé. Nous croyons, nous aussi, et c'est pourquoi nous parlons, car nous le savons, celui qui a ressuscité le Seigneur, Jésus, nous ressuscitera, nous aussi, avec Jésus, et il nous placera avec vous près de lui. En tout ce que nous vivons, c'est pour vous, afin qu'en s'accroissant, la grâce fasse surabonder par une communauté accrue l'action de grâce à la gloire de Dieu. C'est pourquoi nous ne perdons pas courage, et même si en nous l'homme extérieur va s'arrêter, l'homme intérieur se renouvelle de jour en jour, car nos détresses d'un moment sont légères par rapport au poids extraordinaire de gloire éternelle qu'elle nous prépare. Notre objectif n'est pas ce qui se voit, mais ce qui ne se voit pas. Ce qui se voit est provisoire, mais ce qui ne se voit pas est éternel. Car nous le savons, si notre demeure terrestre, qui n'est qu'une tente, se détruit, nous avons un édifice, œuvre de Dieu, une demeure éternelle dans les cieux, qui n'est pas parfaite par la main de l'homme. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
The crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain Jesus, for the people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called it to them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May we all come to know the living Word of God more deeply. Amen. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall as they chatted in the kitchen preparing dinner that evening. Adam, so God spoke to me today. Eve, oh yeah, me too. What did God say to you? Adam, God asked me where I was. Sort of crazy. You'd think God would know where we were. Eve, exactly what did you tell God when God asked, "Where are you?" I said I was hiding because I was afraid. I knew we'd messed up. Did you really say we messed up? Or did you blame it on me? Adam, well, I guess I blamed it on you. After all, you gave me the fruit. Didn't God ask you about it? What did you say? Eve, I blamed it on the serpent. Wow, we've come a long ways from when we just walked and talked in the cool of the evening in the garden. Well, if there's one thing this story tells us, and there are many things, but one thing is certainly that from the very beginning, families have been complicated. Families come in all shapes and sizes. There are families of origin, the ones we were born into. There are families of choice, chosen families, maybe because we were adopted at birth, or perhaps because we have chosen a set of relationships that is more supportive and life-giving than our birth family ever was. And there's good, bad and ugly in pretty much every family, in very different proportions, for sure. The book Seven Fallen Feathers tells disturbing stories of seven First Nations families living in Northern Ontario. Each family sent a teenage son or daughter to Thunder Bay for secondary school, only to be found deceased, in one case just a week or so after moving. These are recent stories. They date back, in some cases, less than 20 years. Left their small home communities to be swallowed up by violence at 15 or 16. And most of the time it seemed that there was no authority who wanted to do anything about it. Tragic and very sad. We've simply got to do better. On a much lighter note, I think I watched all episodes, and I think there's 16, in at least four of the six seasons, that's a lot of episodes, by the way, of the American show This Is Us. I don't know if some of you have seen, I don't know if anyone's seen all of it. There's a lot. But it's a wonderful show, in my opinion, especially when you're running on the treadmill early in the morning to watch. It tells the story of triplets, two of whom are biological, Kevin and Kate, and their brother Randall, who was adopted at birth. The big three, the triplets are called, and their parents, Jack and Rebecca. The story mostly follows them as adults, but there's a very clever use of flashbacks and flash forwards to really keep you hooked and waiting to see what will happen to this more or less ordinary family next. And they deal with broken relationships, with tragedy, with addictions, with celebrations, with hopes and dreams, sometimes realized, sometimes dashed. What about your family, your siblings, if you have them, your parents, your partners? What kinds of relationships have you experienced over the years? Supportive, challenging, nurturing, complicated? So now I want you to make another leap. I want you to meet Jesus' family. We don't know a lot about them, but surely they must have been glad to hear that Jesus had come to visit his home community. Far from throwing him a welcome home party, however, his mother and brothers and sisters thought they knew better. They wanted to save Jesus, maybe save him from himself, as we sometimes say. Exactly what had Jesus been doing from which he needed to be rescued? He'd been preaching. Remember last week's gospel about the Sabbath? He'd been preaching about fasting. He'd been healing. There'd been a man with an unclean spirit. There was the paralytic whose friends let him down through the rooftop so Jesus could heal him. He'd healed a man with a withered hand, and that one was actually on the Sabbath, so it's kind of a double whammy. He had appointed 12 and shared his authority with them to teach and to heal. And it's still really early in the gospel. We're only in chapter 3 of Mark's gospel. But there have already been many days in the life of Jesus about which to speak. There was also already controversy. Jesus had been questioned about his take on fasting and on the Sabbath, and he had been criticized for healing on the Sabbath. Leaders from Jerusalem were now following him to see what more he was up to. His family must have thought he was going down a bad or dangerous road. So they wanted to give him a chance to reconsider, maybe change direction. Too much healing, too much upsetting the authorities. So they called Jesus to go with them. "Who are my mother and my brothers?" asked Jesus. And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Looking around him at those who sat and those behind, many are behind me today. I'm sorry, I don't have eyes in the back of my head to see all of you folks, but looking around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my sister and brother and mother." This isn't a put down of the other families to which we belong, not at all. It is rather an invitation to think bigger, to think larger. Jesus so often challenges us to do that, to think about belonging to another set of relationships because of shared purpose and commitment. And you know what? That's us. That's us. We who have come together because of shared purpose and commitment today. We've met this Jesus, and rather than want to silence him like his family wanted to do, we want to be with him and do the same things as him. We want to listen for his word and try to pattern our lives on his. Through baptism, we have become members of that new family, a family whose purpose and will it is to do the will of God. And what's that? If it isn't to help heal and free people to sing and dance and know the purpose that God has for their lives, to see the face of Christ in all whom we meet, and to care for the earth as the garden which God has given us. I don't want to paint too rosy a picture. Like any family, you can find the good, the bad, and the ugly in church communities. I remember a clergy colleague saying once that he wanted to produce a video called Church Fights because he thought his parish was particularly good at it. We are wonderfully diverse and inclusive, and we have to work hard together to build up our common life. We're not always going to think the same or see things the same way. Of course, it's complicated, but it is a community unlike any other in the world. How wonderful it is to belong to this family, this community. I actually prefer the use of the word community. It is more biblical. But we'll save some comments on that for another day. How wonderful it is to belong together. This community is built on love. The important thing is about belonging together and shaping our lives together, both individually and communally, commonly, on Christ's call to love. This gathering today, this morning, and every Christian gathering gives expression to this new set of relationships, belonging to Jesus and belonging to one another. You are all children of God, writes St. Paul to the community of the Galatians. There aren't many communities like this one. Brian Banton, a professor of theology in the States, asks in the current Christian Century magazine, how many buildings do we pass by in our daily lives where we could simply walk in, sit down, and participate? Imagine, he says, seeing a band playing in the park, and as I walk by, I unpack my ukulele and simply start strumming along. How many buildings exist in virtually every neighborhood, every city and town, as little nooks of possibility, of sanctuary? I really like that, nooks of possibility, where one can walk in and be reminded, you are loved, you are good. And I too often forget, he goes on, that I'm the face the stranger sees on those mornings when there are people who risked something to walk through those doors, and that God may actually speak through my, hello, my name is Brian, what's yours? End of quote. After church today, we'll hear an update on our renovation plans. When we move to chairs here in the nave, I hope we'll try some new ways of gathering for worship. There's nothing in the Bible that I can find that says we always have to see the backs of people's heads. Why not sometimes gather around the table of the Lord in such a way that we can see the faces of those who are our brothers and sisters with whom we worship? Will you take a minute today before you leave to say hello to someone and introduce yourself? Maybe you've sat near them for years and you're embarrassed that you've forgotten or maybe never known their name. Maybe today is your very first day here. Simply turn to someone that you don't know before you leave and say, hello, my name is, please tell me yours. We are family. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Creator sets free, we thank you for your grace and sustaining love. Bring us together as a parish, a diocese, and nationally as we focus this month on our 2SLGBTQI+ communities. Two-spirit, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, plus other communities that identify differently. Thank you that St. John's history includes early support in some areas. Let us not rest in our past and instead focus on loving better those among us and our community who have been disregarded and cast aside, especially those still suffering and still seeking their way. This morning, too, we pray for the original peoples of this land within our church, within our diocese, throughout the Anglican Church, especially Archbishop Chris Harper, as he leads the new and growing branch of the Anglican Indigenous Church in Canada. And we pray for those in our community. Open our eyes, we pray, to the systemic realities of Indigenous peoples struggling to find, discover more fully, and assert their identity. Open our hearts to embrace those willing to enter into fellowship in a way that empowers them in their journey and recognizes their self-determination. Open our hearts to those on their continued healing journey, struggling through the impact of their unresolved trauma, broken families, broken communities, missing children, missing and murdered family members, to accept our sincere and genuine remorse over our complicity in their persecution. Grant us wisdom to know when to speak and when to keep silent and listen. Guide us in our continued journey of truth and reconciliation. As we pray this morning, we ask for your blessing and your strength in our lives together as we say together, Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Barb, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, Monica, Barb, Jeff, Marianne, and all who minister at St. John's. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, and Linda, our primate. Sustain them and guide them as they lead us, we pray. We pray, too, for the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples, Sacred Circle, and the Ministry of Reconciliation. Lord, hear our prayers. Comfort those in need of healing in their lives and the lives of those they love. Bring peace to those facing death and grief. We remember especially those in need of healing and peace known to us this morning as we pause and pray specifically for them. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for the nations of this world and especially for those locked in combat with many people suffering. Soften hearts, we pray, and bring peace and justice to those desperate for both. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our nation of Canada and those who serve and lead, nationally, provincially, and locally. Grant them wisdom, we pray, and boldness in doing right. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Thank you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the Church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and keep you today and always. Amen.